understand that you came to know Jesus by faith. You don't understand the virgin birth. You don't understand the resurrection. You don't understand anything that is really going on in the process of the love of God for us. But you don't have to. God is in control of love. I don't love God because of me. I love God because he first loved me and put the attribute in my life, an attribute called love. And it said, I want you to love. And I will say, Lord, everybody's not lovable. And then you get a word from God and will let you know, yep, and you're number one, not too love. So you and I need to understand the love of God doesn't go by personality. The love of God goes by the heart of God, and to fulfill his purpose in your life, my life, and in the life of the world. Our world is in a mess. God didn't mess it up. But I'll guarantee you this, he can sure straighten it up. And when you start mocking the power of Almighty God, be careful, you're getting ready to get straightened up by God. He doesn't need me to do it. He doesn't need you to do it. He needs you and he needs me preaching, teaching, talking the truth about who Jesus is, not about who we are. We are nothing. Our faith is as filthy rags. We're broken. You know, as I always talk about, any of us that's ever been in battle, those of us that's in Vietnam or anybody, it doesn't matter. Anybody that goes to war and comes back, we're messed up. And we really are. That's why that we get in our own little corner and we talk to each other. Because you people that aren't messed up don't understand what we're talking about. And to be factual with you, when we get in those corners, we don't know what we're talking about either, but it's fun. You see, every human being is broken. God looked at every human being that is broken, was broken, and will ever be broken. And before time ever began, he decided, I'm going to send my son, or God says, I've got to come down and straighten this out myself. You cannot look upon the face of God and live. So God sent his only begotten son. And his only begotten son let us know that this is what God looks like from the human standpoint. And he says, now not only do I look like this, I'm going to send you, when I leave, my spirit. And I want you to mimic me. Every one of us as our Christians have been commanded by God to grow closer to who Jesus is. Not to grow closer to who we are. Now listen to me. The word of God is truth. The love of God is power. As I go through the faith study that I'm working up, I want you to know that faith is the power of God through man. One of our great problems, once again today, is this. You and I are allowing our human brains or our intellect to start figuring out things that aren't really true to God's word. Let me explain it this way. Do not allow that which is ungodly to be saturated with your mind. Don't allow something that you're going to feed on your mind. If it's garbage, don't feed on it, because don't ever feed on something that your spirit cannot digest. Therefore, when we look at God's digestive system in our life, we understand something, and that something is this, and it's a fact. Folks, you and I are going to have to get real, and we're going to have to deal with reality living. Now, all of the fantasy world and all that's fine, but you can't live in it. You're going to get out of how many parents have I met over the years, and the parents would be so ultra protective of their children, and it's good to a point. But then by the time they got 18 years old, 17, 16, whatever it is, by the time they would get that old, the parents would say, okay, now go out there and change the world. We'd throw them into the thicket of thorns And they weren't trained to be able to deal with what's real, because they were, we were understood, you know, when, as a chaplain, prison chaplain, and a Marine. I got to always throw that one in. As a chaplain, coming out of the chaplaincy, going into the pastorate, and I thought, you know, I've dealt with some of the hardest core criminals in the country for years. It's going to be so great to be able to become a pastor of a church where there's no fussing, fighting, arguing, not having to worry about being shanked. It won't be five times I've been stabbed, only four. Keep that. I come to church, to pastor a church, and I said, Lord, send me back to prison. At least I know who my enemies are there. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that you and I are living in a world to where it can only survive by the love of God, and yet we will not share God's love with each other. But we'll sure lose it, and we'll share the bitterness that's in our heart. Why? Because we put garbage up here. And this garbage that we put up here, my friends, is controlling the spiritual heart. It ought not to be, brothers and sisters. Ought not to be at all. It ought to be as Christians allowing God to control our heart, control our love. And you all know better than to start any arguments here, because I'll be on your doorstep. Let's love. Let's respect. Let's give time. But let's give the word of God to those who come to hear it, and not foolishness. How God builds your faith. I want you to know this. Mark 9, verse 23. Everything is possible for the person who has faith. Jesus said in Matthew 9, 29, I switched that on you all. According to your faith, it will be done to you. You know, it always amazes me how God takes our mess and straightens it out. Listen to me, folks. Faith is of the heart, the faith of God and in Jesus Christ. That doesn't come from books. That doesn't come from studying. That doesn't come from worry. That doesn't come from anything other than the power of God. I get out into the world and I cannot remove the mountains, but my God can. I get out into the world and there's a Goliath. Your children are going to go into the world and there's going to be a Goliath. There's going to be a mountain. There's going to be evil. There's going to be vileness. I raised them right, we say. I had them at church, but you put them in a foreign land, the world. You and I must protect our children, but you educate them on reality. See, faith is the power of God through each one of us. I could not fight in a battle and expect to win on my own in Vietnam any more than you and I can fight the battles of life today within our family, within life, and do it on our own. Faith, though, changes us. It is the faith that we have, and it is weak. It is small, it is little, and we cry out from within and say, Lord, I need help. And God tells us to the very depth of who we are. I want to help you, Larry, but you got to turn that mind off and you got to open up your spiritual heart so I can feed you the truth. We think we know what's best for everyone else, and yet we won't take care of our own families. We think we have the answer, and yet we change nothing with our life. Have you ever wondered, when I step through that door to eternity with Jesus Christ, will anybody miss me? Will it matter? Will I have a story to tell? Will there be a life story that I have lived, that someone picked up on, and they knew Christ because of that life story? Every individual has a life story. That story, for whatever age it is a story given to you by God Himself because He loves us. He said, I'm going to give you a life story. Here's the part that bothers us and we don't understand. The life story is not written in a book. Seminary can't teach me about life and didn't. Nothing. No power on earth can substitute the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It is the power of God in the heart of parents that love enough to say no. It is the power of the love of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the human race in the United States of America, to where once again you and I can be stood up by the power of the Holy Spirit and said to the world at large, I want you to know, yes, we are the United States of America, and we are founded on the basis of the power of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Amen. Just the power. Because the power of God goes to the depth of humanity and of eternity. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as a young boy, all of those around me saying, he's too young at eight. He's too young at eight. Many of you all know my story. I had to fake crying just for somebody to believe I'd accept Jesus. And I was too busy laughing. But it had to be a certain way. The love of God and the wisdom of God and the power of God touches each one of us differently. You know why? Because there's a life story in your heart. God has given it to you. And that life needs to mean something. Jesus Christ lived the life, walked on earth for around 3 years. And we still talk about His life story and will throughout eternity. That's love. That's the power of faith. Father, I cannot fight the battles that sit before me. Good, Larry. Sit back and watch me straighten out the mountains. Watch me bring down the giants. Watch me share with you the ultimate love power that I have for you, because I'm reaching to your spirit, not to your mind. What you understand on paper will never get you to heaven. Who you know in your spiritual heart, it guarantees security in heaven for you. When Jesus Christ got a hold of you, folks, you pray for, well, Jesus said it this way, pray for your enemies. You pray for anybody that tries to turn you away from Christ because they're in trouble. Every one of us who know Jesus understands something. We are living in trying and troubled times. We're watching children having babies. We're watching individuals not worrying about anything that's going on in their life, and parents saying, I just don't want the battle. I don't want to have to stand up. It's hard at home to tell teenagers, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's misery. And I don't have the strength to say no. You don't need it. What you need to do at home is share Christ. And when they leave, and you think all those years that I shared Christ in home, all of the times they went to church, and they're out there in the world, it was Jesus that looked at us. At the beginning of time, God decided that He would grow a great nation, and He's going to do it through love. And the people He chose to be that nation were the vagabonds of the era, meaning nobody liked them, nobody wanted them. They were not even a people. They had no power. Let me tell you their story. A group of individuals who knew no nation, were scum of the earth. God said, fine, you other nations you build. I will build a nation from this. That's me. That's me. I'll build a nation from snotty-nosed kids that run around on Buffalo Hill in Buffalo, Kentucky. I'll build a nation. And in that nation, I want you to know, I'm going to bless whosoever calls on the name of Jesus Christ. And I promise you that I will give you all the building tools you need. And I'll promise you this also, that as you're building, sit back and watch me and my craftsmanship, because I'm going to do the finished work on you. God said, I've chosen you, people. What happened to the nation of Israel? What happened to the Hebrew nation? They were handpicked by God Himself to be His special people, a special nation. And time came when they looked at the other nations like America is doing today. The time came when they started focusing and looking at the other nations. And they had a complaint to God. God, we want to be like other nations. We want a king. God, we know you've delivered us. We know you've always run the battles for us. We know that we are your nation, but we don't want to be different. We want to be like all the other nations. Please give us a king. And God said, but if I give you a king, he will rule over you. Because God was undergirding them, a nation that could not fall, a nation that could not falter. All the rest of the nations were afraid of God's people until the great sin came and they called for a human king. God, let me paraphrase it, says, bad choice. Because when you do that, you're pushing me out. Do we not see that in America today? Do we not see a nation once again saying, openly, we don't want the name of Jesus on anything. We don't want even a picture that looks, I don't even know how Jesus looks. How do they get that? We don't want anything to do with God and His people. Let me tell you what's sad, folks. God has laid this on my heart, and I will share it with you. Right now, today, the State Department of the United States of America, past week, but the State Department of the United States of America declared that Catholics, evangelicals, and Mormons to be pitched in with terrorists, that we are crazy. Well, they're pretty close on a lot of it. But think of it. The Christian denomination, Mormonism is not, but the Christian, anything that deals with who Christ is, they say these people are terrorists. You know why? Evangelicals are. I say, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There's no other name given under earth or heaven by which one can be saved other than that of Jesus Christ. Amen. No other name. That makes me a hateful individual. That makes Christianity a hateful, as they call it, religion. I'll tell you what Christianity is. It's a relationship. And either you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ or you don't know Jesus Christ. It is by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, folks. You and I have got to get our mind in order with our spirit. Don't allow our mind to control the spirit. Its body's messed up. We do have a mind. We do have a brain. But do we not also have the spirit of Christ we call the heart, spiritual heart inside of us? And yet, will we or will we not allow the mind to control the spirit? Huh? You know why? Satan knows that's when he can say, I got you. because he cannot touch my born-again spirit. He has no authority over my born-again spirit. He has no power over my relationship with Christ, but he does have over my mind because it is earthly. It's messed up. I started a prayer that I use by myself, nobody around or anything, of a day. This hit me about 2 weeks ago. When we were observing the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I thought in my heart, how in the world can we as Christians not understand that that's the only holy ordinance that Jesus says will continue throughout eternity? So I decided to pray a prayer like this. Father, every morning, Father, thank you for sending Jesus for the body that was broken for me. Thank you, Father, this day for sending Jesus for the blood that made me free. Thank you, Father, for the power that could only come from Thee. You are my strength. You are my hope. You are my life. Help me dedicate this day to You, Father. Therefore, whatever happens that day, good, bad, or the ugly, I can smile. Because you see, I ask for God to be in charge of the day. Did He not give us this morning, when we got out of bed, a perfect day? And He's promised that He'll never mess it up. At the end of this day, if something's messed up, guess who messed it? You and I must reach once again to the power. The power's in the faith. The power's not in my human strength. The power is not in the intellect of man. The power is where it's always been, in the heart of God, Jesus, God incarnate, the truth of love. You and I speak of love and we use it as a word. When God speaks of love, He expresses it into action. It is the love that He'll put in the heart of a young man to call him to preach and watch the older generation put him down. Oh, how many young folk, how many men that I've seen in this church, I've been here 18 years, how many men knew that they had the call to preach and the world pulled them away? Not only from preaching, but from even worshiping in church. Ought not be, my friends. Each of us will be impressed by God and with God in our life only when we allow God to rule in our heart. God says, Larry, I did not create you to make a king over you. I created you because I am the King. I am the Creator. I've created you because I love you. I love you, Larry, just like you are. Even when you're a mess, even when you're down in the ditch of life, I will be there and I'll send somebody to pick you up. That's Christianity. That's love. Not bickering, not arguing, not condemnation, but pure love of God. Father, all I can offer you are empty hands. And then He said, I got you now. Christian, do not become so educated that you forget Jesus. All the degrees in the world will mean squat in heaven. God may not have used that term, but all the degrees there won't mean anything. But you know what will? When you walk through that door that God will open. You see, I don't die. The scripture says we pass away or pass on. That's scriptural. And the door opens. And see, I've got a grin on my face before the door opens. Because I read the book. If you all have never read the Bible, read Revelation. Oh, no, that's too spooky. I'll read it and forget about what somebody told you how spooky it is. Because in the book of Revelation, you'll find out God wins through Jesus Christ. I want to be on the winning team. And I am. I know Christ. I cannot deal with life on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. I cannot deal with what is real in the world, nor teach my son. Most of you know that my son's a police officer. All the time that I fought in Vietnam, or any of the rest of our congregation who fought in a foreign war at any time, I would fight in the war zone, but then I came home. My mother was worried about me. She said all the time I was there. I have a son that's a police officer that goes to work with a gun on his hip every day and in the middle of a society that's out to kill all police officers and those who prosecute crime. I can't be with him. And he wouldn't want me there if I could. But I know the one who is. You see, make your life count for something. But here's the something. Make it count for what God's called you to make it count for. And do your life story. I mean, what a better teacher to have than the Holy Spirit? What a better financial manager than the Holy Spirit? You won't have as much sitting in the garage, but with the Holy Spirit, making sure that you and I have all we need. You see, I'm not going to be here that much longer. And if you're worried about it, don't, because you all aren't going to be here that much longer either. The thing of it is, the fact of life. What am I going to leave behind? What's the story of my life? Does the story of my life affect the lives of those around me enough that they would even notice that I'm gone? All of you have heard me, and you know that Randy Kidder's the only one I paid to cry at my funeral. But think of it, to be able to lay down and say, Lord, I understand it's finished. But once again, Father, I want to come back to you with the prayer you led me into in my ripe old age. Father, bless this day through the body of your Son Jesus that was broken for me. Bless this day, Father, in my life through the blood that was shed for my salvation. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, and let me not mess up this day. Let me, Father, do your will. Direct me in this day. And at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, I just might get to walk through a door. You won't hear it, but I'll be shouting. You won't see it, but many will wish they could. But it'll be a day for me when the ultimate love story came true in my life. And I would look back at earth, if at all possible, and I know what I would say. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's love. It's Jesus. And it don't get any better than that, Brother Randy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for your Spirit, for your touch. Oh, Father, you are the Master. Remind us, dear Lord God, that once again, you will give us the strength. You will move the mountains. You will direct our heart. Help us, Father, as we stand so many times alone to make sure that we follow your direction instead of our families or anyone else. Direct us, Father, for we realize the day is here, and the day of the coming of your Son again is near. And if it does not come, Father, during our time, we will surely come with Jesus on your time. We ask that blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.